Okay, so today I will share with you a few of the more modern things, and the next couple of times I will share about the different kind of movements, you know, the Focolare movement, the Opus Dei, and some other movements. So for November, that will be November. And then December, in Advent, we will start a series of talks on the spiritual life based on the spiritual classic Introduction to Devout Life. So I changed the plan a little bit. Originally, I planned to have this presentation, choose two saints and a blessed, next time a blessed and Opus Dei founder, and then jump into introduction. But when I am writing the article, I just decided to extend my biography before we finally go into the spiritual classic. So give me another extra month of writing easy article. Because biography for me is the easiest thing to write. When you go into more technical theology and spiritual life, I think it's a bit more time consuming, but also it's a bit more difficult when you edit the Chinese translation. Because when it's biography, it's easy to translate, you know, usually not much thing need to be changed. But when it's more technical, you want to be really precise. So I usually have to spend a bit more time to editing the translation I receive. Anyhow, the first one we talk about, and I also want to make sure I got people's names pronounced correctly. Is that Laura, L-A-U-R-A?
Yes.
Laura. So this is Blessed Laura. So basically, the first story is about a daughter offering her life for the mother. Second story about a mother offering her life for the daughter. So we will go to the daughter offering her life for the mother first. So she was born in Chile, in San Diego, in the year 1891. And her mother, Laura's mother, Mercedes, lost her husband when Laura was only 2 years old. And so she had to look after Laura and Laura's younger sister. So she was working as a cook for several years in a hostel. And then the owner of the hostel, Manuel, promised the elders that, you know, if she came to live with him as his mistress, then he would pay for the education of Laura. So her mother, you know, really anxious to get material financial security, you know, actually agreed to live with Manuel as his mistress. You know, Santa, why don't you sit over here? I'm afraid somebody opened the door, you will hit your face. Yeah. Because we know there's one person will be coming for sure. So she was living with that man, and then Laura was able to be sent to a boarding school. It was a boarding school run by the Salesian sisters, the sisters of the Mary Help of Christians. So she was really happy there, you know, because she had a love for religion and also have a really deep interest in the Catholic faith. And he was a model student, a leader in the school, and really, really to be a try to be a friend to everybody. And so, and then she helped the different students in many different ways. So, a really good student. In the year 1901, when she was 10 years old, she made her first communion, and she wrote, "Oh my God, I want to love and serve you all my life." Even in that young age, she was mature enough to know that her mother, even though not married with Manuel, the two of them living like married couple, she was living in sin. And she knew that it was because of Manuel, that guy, that she was away from God. And so she was really determined to pray for her mother every day, to pray for her conversion, and determined to help her to leave Manuel. And then she would pray before Jesus in the tabernacle, "I wish Mama would know you better and be happy." Because of her determination to pray for her mother, she spent practically all her free time praying. And because of that, her companion didn't like her, too pious, too much praying. So, but she got one good friend, and the first thing is also Mercedes, like her mother's name, her schoolmate. That they become good friends, and she was able to share many things from her heart, including her desire to be a nun. Inspired by the Salesian sister, she wanted to follow their example to consecrate herself for the service of others. Now, as Laura grew older, that guy, Manuel, turned attention away from her mom and to her. So, during a Christmas vacation, she was actually beat up 2 times by Manuel because she refused his sexual advances, but also she refused to give up the idea to be a nun. Manuel tried to persuade her, you know, not to be a nun, but she would not listen. And so Manuel beat her up, she would not change her mind, and Manuel stopped paying for the education. When the sister found out what was going on, they gave her a scholarship. So she was able to continue to study. She was grateful, but she also really deeply concerned about her mother, about her salvation. One day, remembering the phrase in the Bible, "No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friend," she decided to do something quite exceptional. She decided to offer her life to God in exchange for her mother's salvation. And so she prayed to Jesus, "I offer you my life for that of my mother." And her prayer being answered, in the winter of 1903, at the end of the year, she became really, really sick with TB. And then she needed to go back to her mother. Now, in early 1904, January the 14th, Manuel got drunk. And again, Laura had to refuse his sexual advances. And Manuel got so mad that he beat her up to the point that she was unconscious. Later on, she recovered her consciousness, but she never recovered from her health. 8 days later, she died as a result of abuse and also of her sickness. But before she died, on January the 22nd, 1904, she said to her mother, "Mama, I offer my life for you. I ask our Lord for this. Before I die, Mother, would I have the joy of seeing you repent?" And her mother, with tears, answered, "I swear, I will do whatever you ask me. God is the witness of my promise." And then Laura smiled and said, "Thank Jesus, thank Mary. Goodbye, Mother. Now I die happy." So she died, you know, in 1904 at the age of almost 13 years old. And she was beatified by John Paul II in 1988. So she gave us the example of offer her life for that of her mother. Now the second example is a mother offer her life for her daughter. You might know this one already, right? Gianna. Is that pronounced Gianna? G-I-A-N-N-A? Gianna. So she was a saint, so she was actually canonized by John Paul II in 2004. She was born in the year 1922 on October 4th. And she was actually from a quite a big family. She was the 10th of 13 children in the family. Her family really devout, you know, the family, they would all go to church early in the morning. And then they would say the rosary in the evening, and then after rosary, renew the consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In 1938, when she was like 16 years old, she attended a retreat according to the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius. And the result of that retreat was she wrote down some resolutions. At 16 years old, she wrote down some resolutions. So I will read some of her resolutions. "To do all things for the Lord, to serve God. I will not go to movies without being sure that it is suitable and not scandalous or immoral. And then she also wrote down, I prefer to die rather than commit a mortal sin. To say the Hail Mary every day so that the Lord might give me a holy death. I wish to fear mortal sin as if it were a serpent, and I repent, and I repeat, I would die 1,000 times rather than offend the Lord. I beg the Lord to help me understand His great mercy. The way of humiliation is the shortest way to reach holiness, to pray that the Lord lead me to paradise. And so Gianna was involved in Catholic Action, and she lived out the motto of Catholic Action: prayer, action, and sacrifice. She, after her confirmation, she became a daily communicant. She received communion practically every day until the end of her life. And to share and to be beneficial to help other people in their work, in the mission, she also shared her own program of spiritual life. So here are some points of her spiritual life. Morning and evening prayers, not in bed, but on your knees. Holy Mass, Holy Communion, meditation at least 10 minutes, visit to the Blessed Sacrament, Holy Rosary, without Our Lady's help, no one enters paradise. Now, Saint Gianna studied medical, and she considered medical is more a mission than a work. And she wrote, just as the priest can touch Jesus, so we doctors touch Jesus in the bodies of our patients. In the poor, the young, the old, the children, Jesus makes Himself seen in our midst. Patriarchy was her special focus, because she had the desire to be in touch with the mothers through the children. And so she would be really close to some of these women and help them through some really difficult times. And she had long conversations with those women to talk about the best way to raise up children and also about the value of human life. In 1954, December, she met her future husband, Pietro. And they got engaged the next year, and then September 1955, they got married. And her husband wrote, the more I know Gianna, the more I'm convinced that God could not have given me a greater gift than her love and companionship. She gave birth to 3 children in 1956, 1957, 1959. All those pregnancies have some difficulties, but she eventually delivered. She got 2 miscarriages after that. But of the 3 children who were born, when a child was born, she thanked God for that, and she would give a sum of money from her savings to the missions. And the money that she gave, the amount is equal to the salary of a worker, 6 months salary of a worker. So pretty substantial amount. In 1961, she was again expecting a child, but this time there were some difficulties. In the second month of the pregnancy, she developed, FIBROMA? Fibroma in her uterus. So she said, this time it will be a difficult delivery and they might have to save one or the other. I want them to save my baby. And so she refused to go through the medical procedure that would result of the death of her child. Now, in that situation, you know, she had some option that she can make. That, of course, a direct abortion would be immoral, but to go through a medical procedure that may result in the death of the infant would be lawful for her. Because if it's not a direct abortion, it is only a treatment, and the death is only a side effect. But she made the choice not to go through that procedure, because she knew that would cause the death of the preborn baby. And so she carried the baby to April 1962. On April 21st, by C-section, the child was delivered. But she continued to have severe pain and died on April 28th. Before she died, she remarked to her sister, if you only knew how differently things are judged at the hour of death. How vain certain things appear, to which we gave such importance in the world. So things that are important in the world is no longer important at the hour of death. Things that seem so important would appear to be really vain, vanity, at the hour of death. I have the joy of, I will have the blessing to have email correspondence with her daughter, the one who was born in 1961, because of these relics of her. 1961, when the daughter was born. So it was a close relic of her wrapped inside this piece of paper, because when I wrote...
In 1961,
when the fourth daughter, the one that she gave up her life for, was born, 1961, April 21.
Oh.
Yeah. So when I wrote a letter requesting for relics, I got an email from her giving me direction how to obtain a relic. I had to write to another church authority to get it. So I got it because of her instruction. And then when in 2010, April, it was April again, it was a Holy Saturday when her husband, the widower, died. Then again, I sent her an email telling her that I pray for her dad, and then she also responded to my email. So that was 2010. So she is around your age. Some of you is kicking and alive. The daughter is still around. So, and I just want to read to you some of the quotation. Of Saint Gianna, some from her writings. Okay, so it's this one quotation. Prayer is the search for God, who is in heaven and everywhere. Since He is infinite, the person who does not pray cannot live in God's praise. The stillness of prayer is the most essential condition for fruitful action. Before all else, the disciple kneels down. Love the Virgin Mary. She is our tender confidant in difficulty. Mary is the mother who cannot ignore our requests. Love your children. In them you can see baby Jesus. Pray for them a lot, and every day put them under Holy Mary's protection. What is a vocation? It is a gift from God, so it comes from God. If it is a gift from God, our concern must be to know God's will. We must enter that path. If God wants, when God wants, how God wants, never force the door. The secret of happiness is to live moment by moment and to thank God for what He is sending us every day in His goodness. Love and sacrifice are closely linked, like the sun and the light. We cannot love without suffering, and we cannot suffer without love. Let us love the cross, and let us remember that we are not alone in carrying it. God is helping us. And in God who is comforting us, as St. Paul says, we can do anything. So here is the second one. The third story. Closer to our time, also closer to some of your age, this one. Know her?
Yes. Yeah.
How do you pronounce her name? C-H-I-A-R-A?
Kiara.
Kiara. Okay. Kiara. So Blessed Kiara was born in the year 1971 and died in the year 1990. So a bit closer to my age and really close to nurse age. Oh, the nurse is not here yet. Too bad. Okay, Kiara. Kiara was the child, you know, the couple, her parents, was actually praying and waiting for 11 years for her child. And then she received the gift of a child, and she was born on October 29, which is coming up birthday, next Monday, 1971. Look like somebody is coming. Okay. is our nurse coming? Oh, Cecilia. Hello, hello, Cecilia. Have a seat. We got a special chair for you in the middle. Yeah. But you be careful. Somebody open the door and hit your face. Yeah. So, Kiera. Okay. This she was born in the year 1971 and died in the year 1990. Now, when she was a small child, she had the desire that the children of the world be happy. At 4, she chose carefully which toys to give to the poor children, and she said, "I certainly cannot give broken toys to children who don't have any." In first grade, she was attentive to all sorts of little ways toward her destiny, a girl who had lost her mom. At Christmas, she agreed to her mother's proposal that they invite her to celebrate with them. She asked that they use the most beautiful tablecloth, because today Jesus will be with us. She listened with great attention to the parables of the gospel and prepared carefully to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. And she touched people with her great concentration when listening to the word of God and when attending Mass. And she visited the grandmas of a retirement home, and later when they needed assistance, she would offer to spend the night by the bed of her maternal grandparents. And her life is also full of little acts of love. One evening she wrote, "One of my classmates have chicken pox, and everyone is afraid to go to visit her. My parents have agreed that it's okay if I bring her homework so she would not feel alone. I think that love is more important than fear." Now, at 9 years old, she began to encounter the Focolare movement. You know, they have they're called the second generation of Focolare, which is a branch of young people. And she really influenced by the spirituality of unity of the Focolare movement. And she also got her parents involved in that movement as well. Now, so as a teenager, so here is a picture of her as a teenager, it's a bit small here. She wanted to please Jesus, so she would dress in a really clean and tidy way, but not in a too fashionable way, because she said what matters is to be beautiful inside. And she tried to turn the normal difficulties in daily lives into opportunities of love. You know, as a teenage girl, there have been a lot of different difficulties that can turn into opportunity of love and forgiveness. You know, her first falling in love was a failure, so, and then also she was being treated unfairly by a teacher and failed her exam because of that. Things like that happened to her, and she would turn those difficulties or frustration into opportunities of love. And she, like other girls, liked music, dancing, swimming, tennis, hiking in the mountains. And she got a wide circle of friends. But when asked, she said she did not try to bring Jesus to others, to her friends with words. She tried to bring Jesus to them by the way she listened to them, by the way she dressed, and above all, by the way she loved them. Now, when she was 17, she started her way of the cross. In 1988, during summertime, during a tennis match, she experienced a sharp pain on her left shoulder. And so after medical check and then further medical check and exam, it was found out that she had the bone cancer, one of the most painful forms of cancer. And so after hearing that news, and once back home, she told her mom not to ask her any questions. She experienced 25 minutes of, you can say, the Garden of Gethsemane. And then eventually, by the grace of God, at the end of that 25 minutes, she was able to say yes to Jesus, to accept that cross. Another that accepting the cross, she never looked back. She just moved forward. And so after the 25 minutes, she talked to her mom and say, "Now you can speak, mom." And then she had her smile again. Now the treatment was quite painful, but also unsuccessful. She wanted to be informed of every detail of her illness. And each time there was painful and surprising news, she affirmed her offering. "For you, Jesus. If you want it, I want it too." She underwent two surgeries and then had the chemotherapy, which caused her to lose her hair. She was really proud of her hair, but she lost her hair. And as each lock of her hair fell, she said simply but sincerely, "For you, Jesus." In 1989, July, the tumor spread really quickly, and so bad that she lost the use of her legs. She liked to ride bicycle, now she could not. And her mother said, "You know, if God take away your legs, he will give you wings." and she said, "You know, if I had to choose between walking and going to heaven, I would choose going to heaven." In the last year of her life, she continued to keep in touch and also encourage the Focolare movement by telephone calls, by postcards, messages, and posters. In 1990, in May, there was an international gathering of Focolare youth in Rome, and so she was really, really, really joyful that she was able to, from her home, to join that gathering through television by watching it. And then her message, you know, her example was a great inspiration for all those who came to visit her. Even though in pain, she refused to take the morphine, the painkiller. She added, "There's only one thing I can do now, to offer my suffering to Jesus, because I want to share as much as possible in his suffering on the cross." She gave all her savings to a friend who do missionary work in Africa. She said, "I have nothing left, but I still have my heart, and with that I can always love." Towards the end of her life, she prepared her funeral. And as she prepared her funeral, she called that her wedding celebration. So she asked to be dressed in a simple white wedding dress because she is going to see Jesus. And she chose the music, the song, the flowers, and the mass readings. And she told her mother when she prepared her, "Always think about that now she is seeing Jesus." She died at 4:10 in the morning, October 7, 1990. Her last words to her mom was, "Goodbye, be happy because I am happy." So that's the third one. And of course, after she died in 1990, and then 20 years later, in 2010, she was beatified by Benedict XVI. So here we have, you know, three modern saints, you know, one is from 1904, and then another from 1962, and then the third one from 1990. So the sainthood is closer and closer to our time. So in the next few, as I mentioned, in the next couple of meetings, we will go through the different movements. Start with the one that, the one we talked about, you know, Focolare movement, and then we will move on to Madonna House and then some other movements.
What's Focolare?
Oh, we'll talk about that next time.
There's a Focolare movement here at St. Patrick's, if in case they are
they do have one here.
You to join them, they have here, very strong.
They have that here. Okay, let me just stop the recording.